We're talking about solutions for the end times. And what I want you to understand is that we live in the end times. We live in what we would call the eschaton. The eschaton is the time after Jesus Christ has been resurrected, after he has ascended back to heaven, and we sit here waiting for him to come back and call us up to heaven. These are the times that we live in. In chapter 24 of Matthew, it tells us that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and storms and all these various things. And then it says, but you know what? Those things are always going to happen. Those things are always going to happen. And every time we have a tragedy in our community, or every time I see a national tragedy of some kind, I think for a moment, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly, so that we don't have to be a part of one more law enforcement funeral, so that we don't have to be a part of another military funeral, so that we don't have to be a part of some grieving family that has lost a child to some senseless act, or even, Lord, we lose a family member to cancer. We lose family members to dementia. We have all these things that are swirling around us and going on, and all of them hurt oh so badly. When I heard that Ronel Singh had been brutally murdered out near Newman, or in Newman, it hurt my heart. Not so much that, as a law enforcement officer, he knew the risk when he went to work. But as I saw the pictures that were posted 5 hours previously, him playing with his newborn child. And now that child won't have him as a father to grow up to. We live in perilous times. On Friday, my good friend Terry and I drove out to Beardbrook Park. And I had heard about the conditions out at Beardbrook Park, about how here in Modesto, we have given a plot of land for our homeless people to live on, and how, in some semblance of style, they have formed a self-governing body, and how the city has graciously provided restroom facilities. But as I was out there, and as Terry and I drove through that area, my heart hurt. And the only thing I could think of then was, Lord, come quickly. To see the deplorable conditions that people are living in there, without shower facilities, without solid roofs over their head, and knowing that many of them are there by choice. But many of them are there because of situational or cause and effect. My heart hurts. Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet their bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed and they all became drowsy and slept, but at midnight there was a cry, and here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going to buy them, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We live in the end times. We live in a time when perilous and bad things are going on, but we also live in a time when we can get ready for the end times. We have all the information that God wants us to have available to us. God has prepared a place for us, according to the Scriptures, and so by choice, it's up to us to be ready. Now, we talk about the 10 virgins, and in the way that I envision this, it's not like they're carrying these big torches with big balls of fire on top of them, but they have the handheld little lamps that they could see their path. And so they have their flask of oil with them, so they're prepared, and they can actually see the way. And when it's time to go out and greet the bridegroom, some of them are not ready. Their lamps, their light is out. As we look at this, the first thing that we need to understand from this, or our takeaway from this, is simple. Make your provisions for your salvation today. Don't mess around. Don't wait around. Don't put it off. Don't set it at the back of the room. Don't put it in a box and set it on a shelf. Get ready today. You see, the foolish ones didn't bring the extra oil. They had, according to the Scripture, they apparently had the means to have the extra oil. They just chose not to actually have it with them. So, have you been confronted by Jesus Christ? Have you understood the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Have you gotten ready? Or are you acting foolishly today? Are you putting off what you need to do today for another day? Are you contemplating your pet sin and deciding to let it live in your life maybe another hour, another 12 hours, maybe another 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks, I'm going to put it away? You see, what this scripture teaches us is quite simple. And this is why we have to be ready today. Because when the door closes, the door closes. I know that doesn't sound very intellectual, or the way that this sounds, it sounds way too simple. But this is what Jesus is telling us. When that door goes shut, it's shut. And you can come and you can knock on the door, but God is not going to open back up. When Jesus comes in the second coming and he calls us up, if we're not ready, we are going to be left behind. And I know if you knew the day or the hour, I know what you would do. See, because I know what I would do. If I knew the day or the hour, I would play the game up until the last minute. I mean, because that's how we are. I want to get the most out of the situation that I can, and I want to maximize everything that I can so that I get the result that I want. But see, that's what God is telling us here is. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Him. You see, the day nor the hour is given here, because God wants you to repent now. He wants the change in your life to be now. Not tomorrow, not a month from now, but today. Now, in verse 14 it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing his 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I am, I have made 5 talents more.' His master came to him and said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" And so as we see this story unfold, as we see it happening, to me it is a great story of how God provides. Because I believe what it tells us is God gives us what we can handle. And God is giving us, and he wants to see how we are going to produce with what he has given us. God wants you to use your talent. And though we're playing on that word talent, I'm going to say God wants you to use your gift. On the front of the bulletin today, if you have a copy of the bulletin, if you'll look at that right now, I have a representation on the front of the bulletin of the various ministries that we do here at Davis Park. And if you look at that, that is a collage of so many different things. And what I want to tell you today is this next year, starting January 1st, there will be over 1,000 opportunities for you to use your gift here at Davis Park. You see, if you're sitting around idly and wondering what it is that I can do here, let me tell you, there is something that you can do. There is something that you can move into. In fact, if there is something on the front of the bulletin, I mean, actually, if there's something not on the front of the bulletin, and you want to start that as your ministry, talk to us. Because if there's a way to serve God in this community that we haven't thought of, and you are willing to provide manpower to, we can help you. We want you to do that. Now, in the first section, the idea there was be prepared. In verses 14 through 30, though, what we're being told there is to be responsible. You see, everyone is given different gifts by God. Everyone is given a different talent. Everyone has the responsibility of searching inside them and figuring out how they can apply themselves for God. And I know that's not easy. I know that it's not easy for us to try to figure out how to self-motivate ourselves into doing something constructive for God's kingdom. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that easily, but I know it's difficult because I know most of us don't do it. It's a historical look at how we approach doing God's work in the kingdom. But what I want to tell you is the good news is we want and we need your help. We need you to search inside yourself. God needs you to search inside yourself and take off and go and do something for him. You see, everyone is given a different God, But you have the responsibility for how you use your gift. That's what the parable of talents is all about, is responsibility. Each one has different responsibility. Even the one who had only one talent given to him could have done more than just bury the gift. He didn't have to dig a hole and put it in the hole. He could have used that to make the kingdom better in some form or fashion. You see, what we have to come to grips with this is that God judges how you use your gift. And I know that that sounds, you're going to like this. Again, I'm going to be very in-depth and intellectual. I'm going to be very judgmental here. God is watching us and seeing how we perform with what he has given us. And that's what 14 through 30 is talking about. In verse 30 it says, "The one who has not," this is in verse 29, "the one who has not, even it will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God has an expectation of you doing something. God has an expectation that we will make this world a better place to live. When our officers like Ronald Singh are killed out on the street, there is an expectation that we will help people grieve through it. And you want to know why we can actually help people grieve through it? Because we have an answer to the grief problem. We have this idea in the thoughts of the Bible that tells us that there is hope in light of death. You see, God says, "I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of," and you put your name there. And what he's telling us is you don't have to die today, because even if you die, you just go to sleep. He uses a present tense verb for when we die, because we have the answer in life after death. In 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and will separate people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you?' And then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' and these will go away into eternal judgment, but the righteous into eternal life. In 31 through 46, it's pretty simple. What he's telling us is that we need to be compassionate. You see, he's telling us that it is a fact that the sheep and the goats will be separated. That judgment is going to come upon us in the end times, and we have to be on the right side. What he tells us is those on the right side, the sheep will go to heaven. The sheep will go to heaven where God has directed them. And how do you know if you're a sheep or a goat? Are your eyes open to the physical needs of those that you meet or that those that are close by you? Do you see them and make a judgment there, and then do you help people? I'm going to tell you, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because as Terry and I are driving through the Beardbrook Village of Humanity there, I'm going to tell you that there at times it made my skin crawl because of the filth and the waste and all the things that were around me. And as my wife would let you know, I actually subsist in a pretty dirty environment, you know? Are you with me? But as we were out there, the thing that actually got to me is in the midst of this environment, all of those people are souls that need Jesus. They need Jesus. And we have Jesus, and we sit here today in a nice, clean, heated environment, and we have the message of Jesus Christ. I'm only thankful that Dean Dodd came by here with the shower shuttle bus 6 months ago. Thank goodness, because as we have provided showers and clothes and food and dignity to homeless people, we've gotten to know some of them. We've gotten to know that they have feelings too. We've gotten to know that they have hurts and that they have emotions, and that in the midst of whatever crisis that they're having, they need someone to talk to. One of the persons we reached out to 3 weeks ago, his name's Freddie Graves. And we spent a lot of time with Freddie. We spent a lot of time, first of all, praying with him. And he had been baptized before. And he is a friend of Derek Price and Grace Wolf and that family. And we were trying to help him work out a plan to come off the street. And right now, or at that time, he didn't have an identity. And when I say identity, I'm not talking about his personal identity. I'm talking about his driver's license or a California ID. And if you're living on the streets and you don't have your California ID or your driver's license, you are toast. All the benefits that are out there that the government says they're willing to give you are unavailable if you are a nobody. If you are a no one with no ID, there's no help. Christmas Eve, Freddie went into the shed that he was living in behind someone's house over on Roosevelt Park. Christmas morning, Freddie didn't get up. Freddie passed away. And I'm going to tell you, as we have been ministering to now several hundred homeless people, this one touched me. We got to know Freddie a little bit. Freddie wanted to do better than what he had. Freddie wanted a better relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can say that I know that he was thirsty and we gave him something to drink. I can also say that I know that he was hungry. And Sheila, thank you for feeding him. He needed somebody to talk to. And several of you did. You see, we say, if you look at our motto, is making a difference, one person at a time. And I wholeheartedly embrace that. I believe, I don't know where Freddie will end up eternally. I know where he was headed. I know the direction that he wanted to go. But I can tell you this. I was blessed by having a relationship with him because he opened my eyes to a new world, to a new group of people, to a new subculture that is out there. And it's so easy for us to sweep them out under the rug, but we have to listen to the individual stories to try to help them move forward. You see, our eyes have to be open to the social needs that they have, the psychosocial, physical needs, and we need to be willing to give to that, to invest in that, to help with that. What Jesus tells us is the goats will go to hell. He makes no bones about it. He doesn't pull any punches in this scripture. The goats are going to hell. You have the sheep here, the goats here, and it's going to be eternal punishment for the goats. And what helps in the separation? How is the judgment determined? And it is the fact that it is up to us to discern the needs of the people around us and then help them with that need. It's just almost overly simplistic. Now, I know that we don't have unlimited resources, but God does. God has the unlimited resources to take us out into the field and do the things that He wants us to do. And notice, as he's talking about this, what he makes the punishment. The punishment is proportional to the amount that you invest in others. And so my question today, it's simple. Are you ready? Are you ready to do what God has gifted you to do? Are you ready to stand up out of the pew and say, yes, count me in? Are you ready to go and meet homeless people? We make it easy for you to do because here every Thursday, 20 to 30, maybe 40 of them come here. 20 of them are going to take a shower. And then 30 to 40 of them are going to eat a meal. Some of them are just going to sit at a table and wait for people to talk to them. It's not complicated, but it is the design that God has placed before us. So are you ready? And my question is, have you prepared for the judgment day? The picture that's painted here in the book of Matthew is quite simple, that the end times are upon us, and he is telling us, are you aware that someone is hungry? Are you aware someone needs clothes? And I'll say this about clothes real quick, and then we'll start to close out here. I don't like clothes closets. Man, I just can't imagine someone wanting to wear someone's used clothes. But my eyes have changed about that. This 20 to 40 people that come here every week are excited to go into our clothes closet and pick out two garments. Two garments, okay? So we're giving out roughly 80 garments a week, and sometimes we can't keep things stocked. We have lots of clothes here, but quite honestly, Olita was right when she told me we needed to have a clothes closet, and I said no. Are y'all hearing me? I'm repenting, okay? I was wrong. People need clothes. We can give them clothes. Can you imagine? People come here, we give them ice water, we give them food. And let me tell you, come down for the food sometime. I would never have thought about putting apricot jelly on a grilled cheese sandwich. Man, it is good. And that is at the bottom end of the things that Sheila feeds them. When they come here to be fed, they are getting the best. The clothes that we put out are the best clothes available that we have. You see, are you concerned about those who have needs? It's simple. I'm telling you right now, the kingdom of God and taking the message of Jesus Christ to people who want to hear it is actually simplified in Matthew 25. We don't have to build great big buildings full of a lot of stuff. We can actually use the stuff that we have hanging out around us right now. So my question for you, real simple. If today is the last day, are you ready? Are you ready right now if Jesus says, this is it, and I want you that are goats to go over here, and I want you that are sheep to go over here, and I want you to think about it right now for just a second, which side is he telling you to go to? Because you know in your heart where God would want you to go. Steve, you want to lead us in a closing song?